Jordan_RealTalk. That goes to you.
Here you go, buddy.
Oh, damn.
Arguing. Right.
World is arguing.
Share. And we are live. What is up, everybody?
Oh, shit.
Are we live on the podcast?
We are live. We are. I'm going to cut everything in post, so we're fucking good. We are live today with Luis J. Gomez. Rob loves our...
Oh, shit. Did I just stop recording your shit, dude?
No.
I just slammed the fucking my phone into your computer system. That's how little respect I have for your whole country. Fuck this whole country.
That's how little respect Luis has for technology. He just slams the two best pieces of technology you can think of against each other.
We're gonna live Periscope while we do the podcast. We're integrating technology.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. So I'm super psyched to have Luis here and Rob for the first time on my show. Because for anybody who doesn't know, Rob is the person who gave me like my first set in stand-up. So... I have a lot of respect for this guy.
Yeah, we all specifically are going to have to talk to Rob about that. It's a nightmare. We were going to have an intervention with you, but now we know the real root of the problem is Rob.
Yeah,
we're going to talk to him about
sounds
that.
Sounds fucking good to me. Well, tonight you got a show at the Underground. That's Puff Mama's joint, and it's the first place I did my...
What show were you on? I can't remember who it was now.
The goodbye show for Karen or Catherine Ferns.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, I know Catherine.
Yeah.
I know Catherine well.
Yeah, her goodbye party was my first show. And it's like, it's one of those things where it was like a learning process for me, and I had fun with it. And if it wasn't for fucking Rob, I wouldn't have ever... gotten a chance to do it, so
that's he was going
to
kill himself if it wasn't for me. You know that?
Pretty much.
So close.
You're going to have to eat your mic a little more, Rob.
You think so?
Yeah, you definitely have to eat that mic more. What were you really? Were you? Because you look like a fucking dude who's got problems. I'm going to be honest with you, dude.
I've had a lot of problems.
You have a vibe to you. Here's the thing, dude. Jordan hit me up on Twitter, and dude, here's the thing, man. I love Twitter. I actually like Twitter a lot more than Facebook. But at least with Facebook, dude, when somebody hits me up and says, hey, dude, I want to do a podcast or, you know, hey, I'll give you a ride from the airport or, you know, I'd love to hang out and do this show. I can do research on them on Facebook. I can go through their past pictures. Yeah. I can look at their mutual friends. On Twitter, I get one little picture. I can't tell what he looks like. I can't tell the type of dude he is.
Yeah.
I put a thing on Facebook for somebody to pick me up from the airport. Nobody else hit me up.
It was
just him. So it was either pay $50 for a ride from the airport or take a chance with you, and you showed up.
I was like, this is not going to be good.
Hang on a second. Is this going? Yeah, okay. Good. No. I had to switch the audio channel. So everything's fine. We're still fucking... It's going to sound better now.
The name of this podcast is This On with Jordan, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much. That's the new name.
Okay.
I just changed it.
But this fucking kid, I shouldn't say kid, how old are you, dude?
I'm 27, or 28, rather.
This child comes and picks me up at the airport. He's got a Puerto Rican car.
That's considered a Packy car.
A Packy car?
Yeah.
What type of car is that?
That's a Mitsubishi Lancer GTS.
Yeah, he's got this fucking, it's a nice car, but it's definitely like rice burner now. Like, you know, it's...
Yeah, I got stickers on it.
It's what you've done to the car. It's not so much the car.
Yes, yeah. I understand.
And then he gets out and I was like, all right, dude, I can tell this kid fucking definitely at one point had a drug problem or something. So I'm all very uncomfortable with it for the first couple minutes. But then once we settled in after a few minutes, you know, I also like, because you're very honest. You just go right into your shit. You're like, yeah, you know, I didn't even have to ask him. He was like, yeah, dude, I've had a lot of problems in my life. Well, admit it, that I like that. There was something very real ass about that.
Well, it's something I kind of open with in almost every conversation, because it's kind of like, if you can put that out there that you're probably worse than the other person, it adds kind of like that layer of okay, I'm better than this guy, so I can talk to him.
You know, I get that. That's a real thing. I mean, I think in comedy, it's a technique.
Yeah.
You know,
I call it Louis C.K. horseshit. You know? Oh, I'm so dumb and fat. Now I can throw a bunch of kids off a bridge and
well, yeah, I mean, look, it's good. You have to, you know, self-deprecation. It's most any good comic, they really. This is advice that Jay gave me a long time ago. But he was like, dude, nobody. There's nothing funny about a hero story. There's nothing funny about a guy winning the race or fucking the hot chick.
Yeah.
It's funny when you fall on your face or you get beat up or whatever it is, you know?
Definitely.
So that's just naturally. It was just always in me to tell the story where I look dumb or to be the butt of the joke. But it gives you the opportunity to then, well, say, well, fuck you, dude. Like, if somebody's in the front row and even if you want to fuck with them for absolutely no reason.
You can fuck with them, yeah.
Now you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you just spent 15 minutes shitting on your fat body or your stretch marks or your fucking shitty teeth, which both of you have.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Well, I've never seen a Canadian with good teeth.
Well, that's because we're under the British. British have bad teeth.
People don't know what your teeth is. It's about respecting the Queen.
Yeah.
Respect the Queen, your teeth fall apart.
Yeah, for a country that has free health care, why does everybody in your country have such shitty teeth?
I think it's a poor sample size you're taking.
Yeah,
people I know.
It's just the people you know. Yeah, basically. We're all scumbags.
Like fucking human trash. God damn it.
Whoa, fuck.
Here we go, dude. We're fucking.
We're
doing drugs. Okay, so you were a real deal drug addict, you told me.
Yeah, I was a heavy, heavy, heavy drug user, even intravenously. So I did use needles at one point in time.
That's a good word for someone who was using needles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
So you were fucking shooting the H.
Slam.
Not H, no. I slammed heroin. No, that is heroin.
We have a different drug up
speed.
Here called
DCA. Speed. Just
in Canada, it's heroin is a silent.
Yeah.
No, I slammed. I've done oxys like that.
You and shot OxyContin.
Yeah, that was like in my my heyday.
Wow.
But speed.
You get hair like Ric Flair.
And fucking crack.
You're shooting this OxyContin.
Now the thing that people don't realize is when you're shooting crack, you actually have to use vinegar to break it down. So you're shooting vinegar into your fucking veins, and that shit burns.
So is it? Let me ask you a question. Is it better to inject crack? Is that the best way to do it?
Probably.
Yeah?
Well, they say, like, why smoke and die when you can poke and fly? That's, like, the saying that I fucking got told.
Dude, I mean, this is
that's
how,
not accurate. This is accurate
from the crack community. Yeah. I didn't know there was rhymes.
Yeah.
Cute fucking rhymes.
Sure.
What is it?
Why smoke and die if you can poke and fly?
Why smoke and die if you can poke and fly? Can we get a t-shirt with that on it?
You can, but you're going to get fucking hassled at airport security. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely going to do an anal cavity search.
There's no, like, weed is a funny drug. You know, like, we're smoking weed right now, and it's just funny. But there really just isn't that much funny about crack. We talked about that in the last Legion of Skanks, because Rich Voss is a former crackhead.
Yeah,
I was on my way to becoming Rich Voss.
Yeah, you wish.
Let's, yeah.
Please.
let's take that down a notch. You see, Bobby?
If you get 1/10 as funny and famous as Rich Voss.
Oh, no, I just meant as cracked out.
With Voss, at that show, he was here like a couple Sundays ago, and say what you want about, like, whatever. He had a head nod during his set at one point. He took out a nicotine gum, and somebody started cheering, and he's like, oh, are you, you chew nicotine? He's like, no, I know you love it, I'm a big fan. And he gave him this just dismissive head nod and went back up. It was like the funniest thing I've seen in months. A head nod out of Voss. He's so funny.
I love it, dude. But people are like afraid to approach him, but that's like, dude, that's kind of his thing. Like, you know, he's ball busty and he'll shit on the host and fucking, but that all comes from, you know, a fucking place of love. But it's so funny, dude, to be in a place where you're like, I don't know, dude, to be so fucking far down where you say, I'm going to, not even just fucking smoke crack, but I'm shooting crack into my body. Is it, you just don't care or are you chasing the high? That's what I was
at one point. Like, at one point, I was just chasing the high. So, like, if I hadn't had somebody, in like a certain person, come into my life, I probably would have never gone down certain roads.
No, so don't give me that much credit. I mean, I am the word, the rattlesnake realized, dude. And I help people, but I appreciate what you said.
Oh, definitely.
Comedy.
I did a voiceover as Tony Robbins once. Somebody thought I had a similar voice.
Yeah, you're Tony Robbins. You are the Tony Robbins of comedy. I don't understand why you're at the Joan Jett of comedy. That never really made any particular sense to me.
Ron Bennington said it to me once, and it just, when Ron Bennington calls you the Joan Jett of comedy, that's what you fucking are. That's pretty cool too. But I want to get back to, because Jordan's on the ones and twos right now doing some tech shit. Yeah. But let me ask you, dude. You're fucking, that's bananas. What happened now here? Okay, Rob. You tell the story like you told me before.
Yeah, it's a great story only because I'm on the phone with my manager talking about how fucking awful my career is, and he gets a text message and it's like, he says, I hear him out loud say, "Is Rob available? This is the money." The money was whatever, good enough. And he's like, "It's Friday. Is Rob available Friday for this money?" And so he doesn't tell me what the gig is. He's like, "I'll call you right back." And I'm like, "For that fucking money, I gotta do the gig."
Yeah, and it's, look, you told me the money. It's not unbelievable, but it's enough that you go like, "All right, dude, I'm not hanging out tomorrow night. Yeah, I'm working.
I gotta go do some work, right?" And I had tickets to go see System of a Down. And I was like, it's kind of bummed out I can't go see System of a Down, but I'll sell the tickets.
Yeah, but by the way, here's the thing. And let's not give the money, obviously. But... what is the number that I wouldn't take and I'd keep my System of Down tickets? I'd say anything. I would just have to take $300 or more.
I was gonna say 400, but 300
I just have to take it.
And because the thing is, I could also sell the tickets, so like 300 becomes four something pretty quickly, right? So people just love shitting. So anyways, I'm waiting. I'm like, okay, I'll have to sell these tickets. I get the call back, and I'm opening for System of a Down, which is like fucking, I thought my manager was fucking with me at first, because it's crazy. Also, by the way, I didn't tell you this part, but they're also considering me opening for the Commodores. The same, like, the same fucking promoters want me to open for the Commodores, the like 1970s Motown group.
That's so weird. First of all, they've done that before in the past, and you hear about that, and you go like, who the fuck? Like, Jay's opened for bands before, he opened for Korn. Like, it's just, in my opinion, it's not right. It doesn't.
It's a nightmare gig.
It's just not a good gig. I don't, who is the person that is in charge of making this call? Stand-up comedy, you know, unless they're there for a stadium show like Dan Cook or Kevin Hart, they're there for that. Yeah. They're like, dude, we are, holy shit.
And they're
dude.
Prepared just to watch on a screen because they just want to be in the room with
The energy's there. The crowd's losing their mind. People are hammered. They're screaming. That's what they're there for. Then I understand it working in that environment. When they're there for a fucking band and nobody gives a fuck about this opening act, there's no-name comic,
absolutely. I'm a no-name comedian. And if there was a band, they probably wouldn't give a shit about
the band. They barely care about the band.
And
barely.
And they have a drum set and a guitar. I have a fucking child labor joke I gotta try to fucking run on them, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And listen, dude, it's like, it's a hard thing, and you go like, well, whoever's in charge of making this decision, you go, wow, dude, you are that disconnected from what we do.
Let's not harsh on that person too badly, because they're paying me
I'm not hating on them at all, but it's just a bad call. The crowd isn't gonna like it as much.
I'm gonna eat bum balls.
You're not gonna like it. The band's not gonna like it. Here's the problem: you might have been able to be friends with them one day, and now they're gonna hate you.
They're just
gonna remember you as that guy who got booed off the stage at their fucking show in front of 40,000 people.
You know how much time I'm doing, right?
How much time are you doing?
15 to 20 minutes.
That's terrifying, dude.
It's fucking
7 minutes. It should be.
Yeah,
it should be 7 minutes. They should say, "Dude, do nothing longer than it should be all Twitter-sized jokes."
Yeah.
Like literally, set up punch.
Not that at all.
I know.
I'm like pulling apart a few jokes to like put short whatever in the beginning, and you know, I'm just gonna make fun of fucking some guy who yells something, you know what I mean? Like, I asked Jay about it, he was very much like cheerleader show, filthy, and then make fun of how some guy looks, and it's like, I get it, but it's also System of a Down, so I gotta throw in something about fucking Armenia or something, or they're gonna be upset, you know?
Yeah,
they're a political band, like, I gotta do some social commentary.
Yeah, but dude, I don't know if you realize,
filthy first.
Their fans aren't politically smart, savvy, yeah, like, dude, I was
be like 30% of them that will be.
Not really. Nowhere near that many, dude. How many?
System of a Down.
Thank you for joining us, Jordan. Is the audio all good still? Because we're releasing this as a real ass podcast as well.
I'm pretty sure it's my fucking microphone. That's
what's the problem with it.
I don't think it's recording, but I'm just still gonna hold it like it is.
Well,
but I'm gonna teeter it in a second.
Listen, you can't do. Why don't we pause the podcast? Right. And then we'll fucking come back and make sure it works. Because if it's not working, then it's going to be an awful podcast and you can't release it.
I can still release it. I'll patchwork it together.
No.
He's going to go back in and edit himself in asking other questions. Make us look like complete assholes.
Gordo, listen to me. We're not going to pause the fucking Periscope. We're going to talk some shit. On Periscope, we'll take some questions because somebody asked. Yeah. All right, well, me and Rob Mayu, the one and only.
I feel fucking pretty douchey right now that I'm wearing a wife beater.
This is recording perfectly.
Okay, well, then just pause it and make sure your shit's recording so we don't waste any fucking time, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make sure.
No, we're not going to pause you watching. You guys are fucking in, all right, dude? You guys are fucking in. So, look, dude, we're here on Periscope. When are you ever playing Philly? Yeah, dude, I'm playing everything. Here's the deal. A lot of people ask me about, like, coming on the road and shit, and about Legion of Skank shows as well. It's a weird thing, dude. Big J is a headliner. He headlines in every market, right?
So
I'm starting to headline in most markets. I'm trying to anyway. It's a conflict of interest to bring these shows. It's a weird thing. Like nobody's agent wants
testing,
to sell them.
Testing, one, two.
Because
testing, one, two.
They're not going to give us a rate for a one nighter and then bring Jenny in another
weekend.
You
have to get to the point where you and Dave are elevated to a point where all three of you are headlining for roughly the same amount of money, and then you can do a thing where. You know, it's like when Norton did that Antisocial tour, everybody only did 20 minutes, so it didn't burden the market. You know what I mean? But, like, it has to be the point where you are three equal parts. It can't be that, you know what I mean? Like, because Jay's rate is getting, you know,
The gap is just there. Jay's going to shoot himself in the foot with these shows. So I'm headlining more right now.
All right, we're good to go.
If you headline in your hometown, dude, just request me at whatever comedy club that you want to see me at. I'm trying to do some more shows with Dave. I'm up here headlining with my boy Rob Mayu tonight in Toronto, if you guys are out there. If you can watch the
replay,
because I know there's not that many people watching live. But I'll be up in Toronto at the Underground Cafe, Puff Mamas, which is a 420 friendly show, representing Legion of Skank. So come out and smoke some weed with me. We're back on the podcast now.
Yes, perfectly. I just have to talk in sideways. That's all. Okay. For some reason, it's not recording out the top.
Okay.
Which is
I just don't
weird.
You know what I mean? We don't want you not being on your own podcast. It's
obviously.
Me and Lewis talking to a ghost.
Yeah.
Some sort of weird off mic.
Yeah, it's pretty uncomfortable when you're not talking and you're on a podcast.
Well,
it's one of these things when you have a podcast, you kind of got to talk.
He brought us over just so he could jack off to the audio later.
I know. It's going to be
probably.
Great.
No, that's
this isn't even a fucking podcast. By the way, then I come. I said this before, but the fans should know this. So we come into this guy's house. JT, love this guy. Such a cool guy already. I really like you, dude. I fucking
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I really
lot.
Wish you should have fucking had him open for me in fucking Windsor. And then he would have driven me out to Windsor. We would have done a gig together.
That would have been fucking awesome.
There's no. He would have definitely. I would have gotten.
Can you go for next? We'll talk about this after. Can you go for the next 2 days?
Possibly. We'll talk.
We'll talk about it.
Get him fucking guest spots and I'll pay him a little something. Yes. That's it.
I'm down for that probably.
Me and this kid are going to do crack together. We're going to shoot it. Me and this fucking JT are going to smoke or shoot crack.
Back to that. So the reason why I said, like, if it wasn't for a certain person coming into my life that I wouldn't have done shit like that, because I didn't shoot it myself. I was never
can
like...
You, hold on.
I tried to
don't,
once.
Don't do that, dude. Don't. I don't like how he just... Like, you know what he did? Here's what happened, right? It was a chick or somebody that he's talking about, a certain someone.
No.
But he said it in a way, like, all coyly, like he's going
to
show it
to her
later.
Do you want me
later.
To just say it?
Like, he's like, look, baby. Look.
It was my stepfather.
Oh, it was your stepdad. You're fucking your stepdad?
No.
You should be shooting crack.
Well, like.
You're sick fuck, dude.
If it wasn't for, like, him and, like actually injecting the stuff, I probably wouldn't have ever done it because it was just that kind of a situation.
Oh, he's the reason you did it. I thought this was going to be the guy that made you stop doing it.
No. He was the reason
stepdad
I did it. Yeah.
Was Jesus. Like, oh, your stepdad's like, listen, dude, you're going to die if you smoke that shit. You want to fly?
Well, basically, in a nutshell, this is what he not how he like did it, but like we were friends before him and my mom ever got together.
That's
so it was kind of
how old is he?
He's in his late 30s almost.
So he's
early
younger
40s.
Than your mom.
Yeah, he's younger than my mom.
Oh, so he was your boy.
He was like
sort
we were
smashing your mom.
No, not like that.
What way?
Just like
it
that.
Sounds exactly
kind of
like that.
It sounds kind of worse. All right, so I used to work with him. I used to do construction in my teens. We were framers together.
And then he started
the boss
putting
was my
some
mom's
beams inside
boyfriend.
Of your mom.
No, the boss was my mom's boyfriend. And then the boss like got his tools robbed and shit, and his company fell apart, and him and my mom had split up like a long time before all that shit happened.
So then this guy put his tool in your mom's box. I get it.
Basically, yeah. So and it was just from then on, he was just kind of like a part of the.
Hold on, fucking, your mom was dating both of your boss.
No, one of my coworker at one point.
Like the two of you's boss.
Yeah.
And then your mom started dating your coworker.
Yeah. Like a year later.
I met your mom, so I'm not going to say what I'm thinking right now. She's a good woman. She's a good woman. Yes. We're in her basement right now. I'm not going to fucking. Which way? I'm so happy. Dude, I was so terrified. We didn't know we were coming to his mom's house. He said we're going to my place. So, you know, look. We want to
and I
sexy.
Said Scarborough, so that's like the worst case scenario for.
Yeah, you don't know, but this is like the hood.
Yeah, this is like this is like the worst part of.
Oh, this is bad.
This is like coming to the Bronx.
Yeah. This is like nice. That's the problem. Yeah. Anytime you go out of this New York like City and they say it's the hood, I'm like, there's trees.
No,
that's not the fucking
America
hood, dude.
There's some scary places. You ever been to Gary, Indiana before?
No.
That's
the birthplace
scary.
Of Michael Jackson. Gary, Indiana is the scariest place I've ever been.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking Michael Jackson.
But that's
Michael
the problem, Jackson. Though. It doesn't look like it when you're just driving around. Unless you're in like a really, really poor, like rundown area. But like, this doesn't look like a bad poor area.
No, no. This specific area isn't like a bad. That bad, like my street, but behind me is a jerk chicken shop that was just raided the other day. So believe me, it's still.
Oh, dude, I would love jerk chicken after this. I really would. I really would. I realized that, guys. So.
Can you have rice?
No, I just had the chicken.
Okay.
But I came in and I was like, I was so happy that we ended up being at your mom's place because it's like a normal, nice place.
Yeah, we had two females waiting for us.
Dude, I was
door.
In your car. His car is not dirty, it just has a smell. Like it was dirty
at one point in time.
Yeah, like it was really dirty, and you seem like the type of guy where like once every 3 or 4 months you fucking give it a good cleaning.
Pretty much.
And then but it always has that. You know, there's like a new car smell. He has a shitty heroin addict car smell, but it's not a bad looking car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just has that type of fucking.
He has a steering wheel cover, and that's a weird. Yes. That's a weird start to anything.
It's a Sparco steering wheel cover.
So, all right, so
he has a steering wheel cover that he thinks improves his day. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that's, yeah.
Exactly.
You're, all right, so your stepdad, all right, so this guy, he became your stepdad, which is even just weird. He was a guy that you were working with, and he was you guys were kind of buddies, and you became druggies together.
Yeah.
And were you druggies before he became your stepdad together, or was he, did you start doing drugs with him after he started poking your mom?
No, before.
Before, okay, so.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. When you tell the story as like my stepdad came into my life, it sounds like there's this gray-haired dude who like one day when you were in the garage, you were like, hey, young man, do you want to see how to shoot crack into your veins?
Yeah. I actually picture it like slower and more like sinister where like he really took him down his gradual road where you were like real straight-laced kid and then by the end of the story, he's shooting crack. You know what I mean? Like, I like to think it was way more of like a crying game, you know?
Yeah. So this guy, and then what at the first time you had smoked crack before you had ever shot it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the first time, how you guys were sitting around smoking it, and were you worried about dying? You're like, we might just die one day. He's like, I know a way.
Since chances are, there's a few people here who are fans of your show listening to this right now. So you guys were talking about smoking crack the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, nobody in that room besides Voss has smoked it, and he didn't go into the description of what it feels like.
He kind of did. He said when you're, like, killing on stage. He said that rush that you feel.
No, that's not the best description.
Well,
that
you
I
didn't
can...
smoke the same type of crack that Rich Voss was smoking. This is also the 60s. This is before crack was around, even.
It's also entirely possible you haven't killed on stage yet, so.
That's possibly, yeah.
Entirely possible. No, 100%. You've been doing comedy less than a year. You don't know what it's like to murder.
Yeah.
You've done well, but
probably,
to murder the way Voss murders,
yeah.
Voss murders, dude.
Yeah.
Big J, we don't murder that way.
Yeah, no,
and we're killers.
Yeah.
Rob both do really, really well on stage. Yeah. To murder like at a high level like that, I hope to one day. I mean, I've had a few sets like that, but the average Rich Voss set, he's leveling.
But when you're killing, it ends with you puking off stage.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes.
Really? Because that's how every hit of crack ends.
So you were smoking. All right, hold on. You were smoking crack. How did it come up to shoot it? I want to know how this came up.
He was just a hit. My stepdad was always like the type of guy who's always. Like,
real ass dude?
Super real ass dude. Like the definition of, but like the psychopathic version of it.
Okay.
So a psycho real ass dude.
Like Insane Clown Posse.
Without the makeup.
Yeah.
But he's fucking loopy. He's from Quebec, so like he has that fucking Frenchman fuck you mentality.
We're American. We're just like, what? He speaks French?
No, he doesn't. That's the thing. But he still
eats crepes.
They're defiant.
Are they fucking?
They're defiant.
I don't know what the fuck they're, that means. Oh, I did watch. I remember when I was really young, I watched Degrassi Junior High, and they went to Montreal and they got into a fight.
Yeah.
And they were like the bad kids from Montreal. It's like
they're
a city.
It's a real defiant place. Like they're very much about like they have a very fuck you mentality.
Yeah. Okay. It's like they don't fuck have you, major but...
chains. Like if you're downtown in Quebec and Montreal, you don't see like McDonald's around and whatever. They reject major chains. They have like Quebecois chains.
Yeah.
There's like the one place you can still go in North America where you'll be like, what is this? La Belle Province is their major fast food place.
Yeah.
It's they're only in Montreal.
Just terrible.
It's like poutine and hot dogs. You know what I mean?
So perfect. Yeah. It's the greatest food I've ever had in my entire life.
You know, if you're doing JFL, which I mean, you will soon, buddy.
One day.
You know. One day shots when you can go to JFL. Not shots fired. It always should be at JFL by now.
Yeah,
should,
definitely.
4 years ago?
Fucking right.
With Dave Smith 4 years ago?
Yeah. It's one of those things that late at night when you're drunk, because you're going to be drunk, because that's what JFL is about. It's like you go there and fucking Russell Peters is in an entirely white tuxedo eating poutine in like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, that's why Just for Laughs is amazing.
Yeah.
People don't really understand why that's the biggest comedy festival in the world. It's because it's magic.
Well, people talk about I've never done any festivals actually, but I did do Last Comic Standing.
Well, you almost did the Dark Comedy Festival.
I did. I was very close.
Yeah.
I was too real for the Dark Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
But I did do Last Comic Standing, and Mark Norman described it to me that way. He was like, because we're all like just at the hotel for like the week, and we're all at the pool every day, and we're all just drinking together, and it's a lot of camaraderie. And it was like, this is the closest thing to a comedy festival. Like, it was just, you're just with everyone, you're partying. It's like, you're just hanging out with people you wouldn't normally hang out
with.
It's
like going to camp, but all the people you're at camp with are amazing comedians.
Definitely. Yeah. I could.
By the way, somebody just did a heart on Periscope. It was just one sad heart. Just one. All right, so dude, you're sitting in the room. This guy's fucking super defiant. He's, imagine he's dirty looking.
He doesn't have a straight hairline and is missing all his front teeth now.
Okay.
So that's how dirty he does.
Your mom's very pretty and seems like she's put together. So it's very strange to me that she would be with a girl like this.
She's got that I need to fix them kind of.
Okay. Welcome to my life. Welcome to my fucking.
Same here.
Okay. So this guy, you're hanging out in a room. You're just fucking smoking this shit.
Yeah. So basically, like what I wanted to do was describe like what a hit would feel like, so that you don't have to fucking do it yourself. So
No. I want to do crack. I'm debating smoking it or shooting it now. I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, no, because wait, do you like vinegar, like salt and vinegar chips?
Yeah, no problem with them.
You might like shooting crack then, because kind of tastes like
you
that.
You taste it?
Yeah, instantaneously.
No.
Yeah.
You taste it in your mouth.
You taste it in your
when
mouth.
When you shoot crack.
When you shoot anything. You taste it immediately.
By the way, this is why this is a good podcast right now. I had no fucking idea that you taste stuff that you shoot.
Yeah. It's for some reason, it goes like if you feel it through your tongue. Yeah. I didn't have to finish that because, yeah.
But hold on. No. I've had medicine before, though, injected into me, right?
Okay, yeah, so like, have you ever had like MRI or anything like that? Like,
what does fucking medicine taste? Maybe your mouth tastes iron.
Do you ever get a metallic taste in your mouth after getting an injection?
That must be because I just had an injection.
You know, no, what I think it is, you have fucking an advanced druggy palate. So I think he just fucking he can feel the heroin in the air.
We keep going
like
back
still to this day. Like I'm still on opiates because of my car accident. So that's like I'm still basically a drug addict, but it's not
silver lining.
Yeah. So
all right. I need to know this.
Yeah.
Walk me through how the idea came about to shoot. Is that it?
You guys are watching the Leafs game. You know, you're just sitting around, and now what happens?
It's. Wait, what? I fucking lost myself.
His opiates just kicked in.
Yeah.
No, tell me, explain to me. We lost that Periscope feed. It's fine. Tell me how you came about shooting crack. I want to know the words that were said. I want to know how this guy brought it up. I mean, that's crazy to me.
And I think it was just like he grabbed it, and like I don't think he had a lot, and he like we.
So does that stretch the crack?
I guess so. I can't think of exactly why he did it. It was just like another thing to fucking do. He's that kind of.
Just chasing that fucking just something bigger and higher and different. Yeah. Different is another thing.
Yeah,
because like.
There was one time I used whiskey for something. And I can't remember what he tried.
So you didn't really know how to do this shit.
I didn't know. I didn't know anything. Like I was just like, all right, fucking do it up.
It's funny because I can't roll joints. Like I roll really terrible joints. Like, I'm very like if I'm on an island and I have papers and weed, I can you know do something. I can smoke. But like for longest time,
you named a thing that's happened twice in your life. You've been on an island and you've had papers and weed. And you needed to smoke weed. You know, those times when that happens.
And one of those islands was Staten Island. So, but I.
The other one was Long Island.
Yeah. No, we've been. Me and Lewis have been on an island.
Yeah.
We spent some time on an island. Me, him, and Fred Durst.
Oh, yeah. Shit. But,
very true.
We. I don't remember. I used to have a 2-foot bong. I would just have in my. So all I smoked out of when I was by myself was a 2-foot bong because I just never taught myself to roll joints. And I'm a real piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But the truth is, when I sometimes, like, let's say I'm very used to smoking bowls, right?
Yeah.
So when I go and smoke a joint, it's almost a different high.
Yeah.
Of one, a different high. Dabs, a different high.
Oh, fuck.
And yeah, it's just, it's almost like I compare it to different types of exercise, like running, swimming, and climbing are different exercises.
Yeah.
But if you're not used to doing one, even though it's elevating your heart rate, it still winds you, it still gets you winded faster, and you still kind of, so you're, it's almost like your body not being adapted to that stress that you're putting on it. And that's kind of the way I compare smoking and different things. You were looking for just a fucking different way to get it in you.
Yeah, well, like, I now, like, thinking back, I realized why I was fucking doing the shit I was doing, because I was all fucked up from, like, my friends. I had, when I was in, eighth grade, my best friend committed suicide, so that kind of fucked me up, and I was just
did
like...
Did he do your podcast first?
No. She didn't, no.
She didn't. Oh,
no, I was going to try and get her stepdad, too.
That probably fucked you up even worse, too, because if you had a girl best friend in grade 8, it meant that you secretly wanted to...
You were in love with her.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because it's so hard, and I told my ex or my son's mother this.
His son's mother is the funniest way to put it.
But, you know, it's like, no, I'm not really friends with girls, and I'll tell you why. Because if I'm friends with a girl, that's all it is. All it is. A friendship with a female... Okay, I really like her. If you add in the fact that I'm attracted to her, what other thing in the formula is there? There's no other variable that needs to be in there. You really like her personality, and you're physically attracted to her. What else I don't understand, like, what's the parameters there where you go, like, oh, I don't want to fuck that person. You technically want to fuck that person.
Yeah.
You know?
We got beers coming for you guys.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. Your girlfriend's too good for you, too. That's another thing. Both of you guys. Another common theme that I'm noticing with Canadians is you guys are not very attractive, and you have hot girlfriends.
Thank you very much.
Like, unbelievable to me.
I fluked out.
Because and by the way, he also said it to me, and the quality was like, yeah, my girlfriend's, like, really way too good for me, and I'm not trying to get him, like, brownie points with you. I swear to God. I swear to God he said that. I swear to God he said that. No, he's not.
Thank you very much.
He said that, and then I didn't believe him. He was like, oh, my girl's, like, just, like, way too good for me. We're, like, way prettier than me. Like, a real step up. And then I just imagined some fucking little heroin-y chick with fucking a tramp stamp and, like, a fucking neck tattoo done by a...
You know that, you creep.
See, that's what I'm saying. I was like, she might. You don't know that.
She probably does. But I imagine it done with like cigarette ashes in prison, and like a sewing needle.
Those are about to explode, so do you want to bring them to you?
Yes, please.
Well, we can't leave the pot. Well, she's hot, but she's not. She's really hot, dude, but she's not too bright.
I'll even open it for you.
She's amazing. I'm back on board.
Yes, she's awesome.
Thank
you, honey.
So dude, you were fucked. You just wanted more drugs in you.
Yeah, that's
and that's where and so you never did heroin though.
I did, like, hillbilly heroin, but not, like, actual heroin. Yeah.
Was it because you didn't have it in front of you?
Probably.
No.
Yeah, it was just one of those kind of, like, I'll fucking do whatever just to feel it. Because I at the time, I kind of felt nothing.
You're a real emo kid.
I would, no, I was kind
of. If you just sing that in like an emo-y voice, those are actual emo lyrics.
At the time I felt nothing. If you got could you get as a tattoo and not feel like an emo kid?
Is that your girlfriend's tramp stamp? No, I, like, I feel nothing because this guy's got a little dick.
No, that's her ex. Anyways.
Just in case he's listening, you want to throw a jab in my
fucking right. You faggot.
Did you say faggot?
Just yes, now? I did. I called him a faggot.
Yeah, he hates this guy. He hates this guy. So, well, that's the other thing that's going on. He spills his fucking beans about shit. Like, dude, I love him, dude. That's why I like you. You're a real ass dude. You're very honest.
I have a big mouth. That's my problem. It's just
that's such a problem. Dude, here's the thing. Look, I have a big mouth. I don't think about what I'm saying 99% of the time. And that's why when I go into industry meetings and I have to think about what I'm saying, or if I go into like an important environment where I shut down, I'm very quiet.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Just fucking, I'm spitting shit out.
If it's important something, I'm very, very conservative.
I tell the story all the time. But it's when I did Just for Laughs,
yes, Rob, we get it. You did Just for Laughs. You've said it twice on this podcast.
It was Mushroom Fest, and Ari was there. So I got a text message like, "Do you want to do mushrooms?" Nice. And before I could respond, like I was on stage,
Ari was shoving mushrooms into your throat.
he had anally from behind. Yeah, you know, it was Evan, and he was like, "I took my mushrooms, I have yours." And as a good friend, you're not going to let him be on.
Yeah.
But it was the Funny or Die party that night, which is like the big, like, meet people party, whatever, but it's free booze.
Yeah.
So we go to this party, but luckily I took just that perfect amount of mushrooms where you're still able to be around people.
And not freak out.
But it also reminded me that, like, when I got introduced to somebody, I needed to not talk to them more than 30 seconds. Like, it'd be like, "This is Dave Becky." I'd be like, "Hi, it's very nice to meet you. I have to go do something else, because this is not..." Because if I was just drunk, I would have been like, "Here's what I think about you." And then it would have been
Right.
It was a perfect cognizant amount to go, "This is going to be trouble.
Yeah.
I need to get the fuck out of this situation. I'll be polite, and I'm going to move on
just
to a fun
fucking
time."
On to the next.
I'm so unfucking comfortable with industry, with important people, dude. I do these auditions, and I shake hands with the people that are important afterwards. And I feel like they can see it on my face. I'm hating every fucking second of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, every single second. And now what I do, because you need, you know,
phony.
You're really not.
You're a real ass dude.
Thank you. And these guys, I go to these shows. Like I did Hannibal's show a few weeks ago in Brooklyn, the Knitting Factory, and it's a great show. It's just a show where there's a lot of people at. You gotta. It's just a show where you want to. There's certain ones that you get. You just gotta, she's amazing. She brings potato chips now. What a fucking great show.
Yeah, she doesn't understand that microphones and crinkly bags don't really mix, right?
We're also psychos.
We're just not eating potato chips. but I go to this show, and you know, it's a show that you just wanna, when you're there, there's a lot of comics there. It's one of these shows you want to do in New York City. There's a handful of these bar shows that are just bigger, high-profile shows.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of these guys. I am comfortable at Cabin because I'm really close to Rebecca now. But, I'm one of these guys where if I don't know a lot of people, I start getting uncomfortable, and I'm going to end up saying something and pissing somebody off because not everybody is a ball buster like I am. So I get angry sometimes because they don't get them just joking around or whatever.
Definitely.
So what I do now is I'll go in. Like, I make a conscious effort where I'll go in for three times and do a loop. My set's in a half an hour. I'll go walk around the block for like 10 minutes and be away from everybody, get on my phone. But I'll come in and I'll just do another loop, let people see me. Come back 10 minutes later, do another loop. So it looks like I'm mingling.
Yeah.
And I'm saying hi, and I'm smiling.
Deal with Lewis.
But I am protecting everyone, myself included.
Exactly.
Because you don't want. This is a problem. I've said it in my career. You don't want me in your home, dude.
Yeah.
You don't want you, Jordan. Rob, you're a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Right at first, dude, like, you know, it's like, I don't know if I... This is... America wants Kevin Hart at their dinner table every day. That's the difference between guys like him.
I definitely get that.
Or some other people. And I don't know how to just be the guy that America wants at their dinner table. I think people really warm up to me. If you're not a fan of mine and you're listening and you fucking hate me right now, you're like, "This fucking guy's a loudmouth. Fuck this guy. Talks too much, curses too much." Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, okay? Come back to me 3 months from now. You're going to probably be a fan of mine.
Probably.
You're just, for some reason, I really make bad first impressions, and people warm up to me, and then they go, I fucking love that guy. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening just in general with the industry now. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when even these fucking blog people, like I, you know, because I do get, look, it's Canadian coverage, but I'm, you know, they're gonna, if there's one guy in Canada, they're going to hate for that type of, like, that blog people. It's me.
Yeah, Canadian Cobra, Rob.
Yeah. Hey, I'm the fucking one that, like, they're going to hate, you know, so...
But I don't even get that because I find you incredibly likable. So all these blogs just need to fucking shut the fuck up.
It's like, you know, it's just about not being a, you know, like you say, what? Look, I'm considering myself a feminist, but I just think there's
fucking right
in how to achieve those goals.
I mean,
and
we
girl quotas and things.
Everyone,
like that,
there's nobody that I know in the world, but if you go by my definition of what a feminist is. Yeah, we're all fucking feminists. We all want everyone to be treated equally. Yeah. We're all on the same page. I'm just not a dummy, and I know you're not going to reshuffle the deck. Let's get real. You can't keep on reshuffling the deck. Not everyone's going to have the same cards. And for a Hispanic man who's been called nigger by his family and grew up on welfare with a heroin addict mother, I think I have the right to go, well, come on, really? You get to reshuffle the deck just because you're born a girl? Go fuck yourself. Am I asking to reshuffle the deck? Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. That's a great fucking point. People just don't understand, like...
Well, and what I was just like, I think it's the same thing about your first impressions is like, because I disagree with you on this one thing, you've now made me, you put me in this category of this monster you've created. But it's like, if you ever have a conversation with you, they're like, oh, I agree on 98% of the things.
And who cares? Yeah. Disagreements, dude, it's so funny because we live in a world now where the water cooler conversation has disappeared. Okay. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, we literally, there's no more. You know, at work, you kind of spend 10 minutes.
No, because everybody's afraid to be called a racist or something.
So everyone goes on to social media now and kind of does that. And the rules for the water cooler conversation was you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about, you know, social issues. You were just, it was just about, you kind of keep those things out of it. You know, I'm not going to talk about being pro-choice or being pro-life with the people at work because, in all honesty, it's going to make it weird, you know?
Yeah,
but now we're so used to being in each other's faces and everyone. We're comics. We should have opinions.
Yeah.
But I have fucking third cousins who are fucking opinionated like they have a fucking TV show. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah, especially about their opinions.
Yeah, that's it. Nobody gives a fuck. People barely care about my opinion.
And there's almost nothing in the entire world where 40% of people don't disagree with you on. Like, you can...
Definitely.
I mean, the fact... Is there a God? You're going to find...
My huge thing is fucking the whole rape culture fucking argument. I hate that thing. Like, because I had a girl fucking accuse a friend of mine of fucking fingering her on a rag at my house. And we did nothing.
Well, it seems like it'd be very evidence-based.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Was
it caught
red-handed?
No, and that's the thing.
Guys, that's why I'm a heck.
I had this conversation on my last podcast with Patty O'Malley, and fucking
just name another comic that nobody that's listening to has heard of.
Anyways,
is he famous?
No,
okay. Not at all. Yeah. But like,
Am I the biggest Canadian comic?
No, I was actually supposed to have on Chuck C. Johnson from Twitter. He's the guy who was just on Anthony's show and on Gavin's show.
Got it.
Yeah, he's got that gotnews.com site.
Name drop other people to me.
No,
get today.
Yes, yes, you are. You're a great fucking get for me.
I am the show, Chuck Johnson. I don't know who it is. Fuck no, I'll say it. Guys, tweet that. Tweet at Chuck Johnson. Lose J. Gomez coming at him.
He's been banned from Twitter.
That guy. Yeah, we were on the same day as him.
He's the one who broke.
So I guess don't tweet at him because he was banned from Twitter.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I brought it up is because he's
Instagram
the one who.
Instagram him. Yeah, yeah. Send him a photo of a hashtag.
A meme. Send him a meme of what Lewis is saying.
But a girl got fucking drunk at my house when we were fucking 12, 13 years old. She got sent home by my mom and then fucking turned around and said, yeah, they touched me when I was fucking drunk sleeping. 2 years in the court system.
Can I tell you why I believe her? Because as you're describing it, you're saying fucking a lot. Like, his story's starting to fall apart. Like, if I was a cop right now, I'd be like, well, his speech pattern just started changing a little bit. Yeah. He's starting to get nervous about it.
Tim Roth, is this an episode of Lie to Me?
Yeah.
Hey, this is 20 years ago, so.
So now you remember some of the stories a little bit fucking...
It's a bit iffy.
Well, here...
Because I had to deal with the fucking bullshit of during high school.
You were falsely accused of sexually assaulting this chick.
Yes, and, not me specifically, but it happened at my house. So her family...
And John Sticky Fingers Johnson.
Yes. Oh, okay. Fucking, they held me responsible, kind of a situation where, it was your fucking house, so it happened under your watch.
Fingered at your house.
Yes.
So they held you responsible because this chick got drunk.
And fucking, like, literally started.
And kind of rightfully so. I'll be honest with you, dude. If my daughter was at, now you got to think of it from this perspective. Your daughter is at another young man's house with a bunch of dudes and they're all drinking.
And her best friend.
What did my daughter look like?
What was she wearing? Was she asking for it?
Definitely.
But yeah, no, I'd be pretty pissed. If I was her parents, sure. I would be coming after you. I'd be coming after her fucking slut friend.
But what I'm saying is, like, something as simple as, like, me going to a bar now as an adult in that same town where that issue happened.
Did she get finger fucked by your friend?
No, it never fucking happened. He was playing fucking Mario Kart the whole time. I swear to fucking God.
But do you know, or are you just trusting your boy?
I wasn't in the room, but I trust
him. That's what I'm saying, dude. That's trusting your boy. I get it. I'm just saying you don't know. Look, you know. Look, I'm just saying that's not an example where I go like, oh my God, dude, the fucking your world was coming crashing down around you.
No, but like the reason why I brought it, because fucking I had somebody threaten to smash my head through a glass table because I went to a fucking bar one night because they happened to know this fucking girl, and this happened when I was 13.
Toronto, that's their promotion. Is if you go to the bar.
That'd be awesome.
But that's the thing. Yeah, Thursday night is if you go there, they smash your head through.
Yeah, there's like one of those.
I'm glad that place is out of business.
What's the place in Boston where they put a dunce hat on you and they like write like cursed words at it? They call you like a shithead. Like, hey, shithead, wear this. And you're like, all right, I'm paying you.
Keep
my fucking curly fries.
The theme is that they're mean to you. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's like Chinese people.
Smash your head through a table. Anyway.
But
hey, faggot. But just welcome still having to deal with that. It was a pain in the fucking ass. And it never happened because it got thrown out of the fucking court. So if it got thrown out of court, that shit, like the stigma that sticks with those fucking dudes is fucking bad.
Here's more why I have a problem with rape culture things is because, not that we need to make this a rape culture podcast.
No.
But
I just needed to bring it up because it pissed me off.
That's what dinner's for. But
I don't think that has anything to do with rape culture.
No, I don't think
Jordan,
so.
Jordan, I have to call you on your shit here. It has nothing to do with rape. It's a specific incident in your life that involved sexual assault. It's, you know, there's nothing to do with the commentary like on the state of how people are viewing.
No, but like how the girl is like basically accused somebody of doing something because she got caught in doing something stupid, like fucking drinking that much fucking booze at that age and puking all over somebody's house and then sending you home like that and your parents fucking up.
By the way, Jordan definitely finger raped this girl for puking in his closet. And he can't say she deserved it. Like, what a fucking idiot. It was nothing sexual. It was really aggressive.
Yeah.
He was trying to harm her.
Yeah.
He
didn't even just break her hymen. He tore her hymen off.
Yeah, dude.
Threw it on the ground.
I did. I talked about this a little bit on Legion of Skanks last night. And, you know, so I don't want to rehash it. You know, a topic I touched on a bunch of. But I tried to shoot this. I was trying to do a social experiment video now because I'm a social experiment guy.
Yeah.
So with Santa New York.
You're real Jane Goodall.
Oh, yeah. So we're going out into the streets. And the idea was, you know, the concept is what you're saying. And I stand by it. Is that once you kind of point your finger at a guy and say you are a bully, rapist, sexual assault, predator, whatever you want to call him, the second you point your finger and the court of public opinion is immediately guilty, the even if they're exonerated,
it sticks.
The charge sticks, the reputation sticks, people don't know. And the example that I've always used was the Duke lacrosse team.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
The Duke lacrosse team, you just think, oh, those are the guys that raped her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they didn't at all. This bitch was crazy. She actually murdered her fucking boyfriend a few years after the fact. I didn't really even get to say this point as much on the show as I should have. But, dude, you really think about it, dude. The fact that they didn't bring that chick up on charges after they found out she was lying. She was a crazy bitch. They let her fucking go with no charges. They created a chain of events that murdered this guy. Mm. Not fucking saying, hey, you can't ruin these guys' lives. Dude, do you know what it's like?
It's like that mattress girl now, the other one. That's I think she's at Columbia.
Yeah, what about her?
She just released like a fucking reenactment with four camera angles.
I swear to God.
Where it's basically like a sex tape.
She made a, do you know what this is?
I don't actually know.
She, I guess she, I don't know if she was sexually assaulted. I don't know the whole background on her.
She says she was sexually assaulted, but there's like text messages and shit where she's like, I loved it, blah, blah, blah. I never had such a great night. But the texting story. The guy.
Who's texting exaggerated? Who speaks like that? I loved it. I had such a great night. Like, Jesus, bitch, calm down.
The first story about her was she walked around the Columbia University with a mattress on her back.
The mattress she was raped on. Yeah. She carried it around.
That was a big story. So then she did recently, because she seems to be like, she seems like she does want a lot of attention.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not victim blaming at all. I don't know enough about the story to say that she
I saw the sex tape thing. It was pretty fucking aggressive.
Let's just say for the sake of argument, she was raped. Right? That's fine. She's going out about it in her own weird way. Some people deal with shit in their own weird ways. I'm not going to sit here and judge her and go, she has no right to fucking, you know, walk around the campus with the mattress on her back. She then goes out and she puts out a camera shoot. Like, basically, it's
a reenactment.
It's a sex tape. She fucks a guy in the thing. She actually fucks him, sucks his dick on camera, everything.
And he starts like slapping her. Yeah, at one point.
He rapes her basically in the thing, and she's telling him to stop. And it's supposed to like basically
set up.
Yeah, set up. Yeah. And he like blurred out and shit so that he doesn't.
Yeah, it went viral and like people are like watching it and it gets supposed to raise awareness and get people talking. We are talking about it.
I did jerk off to it.
Okay. So this is the point. It's like, I don't know what type of awareness she thinks she's doing. I'm not even a creep. I'm just saying, I know what they're acting. I'm not jerking off to a rape. Yeah. I'm jerking off to real chick.
Yeah.
Just some fucking chick sucking a fucking dick on camera. Some nutty bitch. And then getting fucked.
Because look. The fact
some
nut
eating
is,
bitch.
That's a nuts reaction to that. Regardless.
Yeah.
Just file charges. You know,
yeah.
This is why I got in a lot of trouble on Facebook one time.
Did you rape the girl and then she walked around campus wearing a mattress on her back?
I can't remember exactly. I'm sure I posted it eloquently because that's why Facebook is nice, because you can think about what you're posting somewhere.
Yeah.
But essentially it was like, you know, people who don't charge victims who don't charge a rapist is rape culture. It was something along that lines, and I got a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, I remember
but
this.
The fact of the matter is, if you know...
That's a great point.
It is.
If you look at what we know about rape, right? Because this is a problem with a lot of this rape culture stuff, is that it's built on an idea of rape that we have that we know is not true. It's not a guy in the park hiding behind you. It's somebody you know.
Most of
the time, it's also someone who's going to be a repeat rapist. These are things we know about rape.
Definitely.
This is not an opinion. This is our concrete research that we have done on rape. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't fucking... And the problem is that people are like, you know, they accuse me of victim blaming, of course.
Oh, but, fuck off.
And the point is that I don't think that that's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
To accuse, you know what I mean, to go to trial and all these things. Also, by the way, I think it's very important. I think one thing we need to change in the criminal justice system is that you need to, there needs to be a financial, not compensation, but reimbursement for going to court charging somebody for this. Because a big deterrent from charging your rapist is... If you have a fucking job, you got to take all this time off of your job now.
There are things in place, right? Like victims' compensation and things like that, right?
Yes, but I think there needs to be. But that's like people don't know that.
No, they don't. And they don't even tell you that they have that.
And that's a problem because that's a third party. That's
exactly.
Not, part of the legal system. That is a third party.
Exactly.
You know,
I think also something that needs to change on the other side of it is that a woman's sexual history should definitely come into account when they're going through the proceedings on whether or not they're going to charge a guy for raping her. I shouldn't say sexual history, but whether or not she has falsely accused the man of raping her before. Not the amount of guys she's fucked with. But if you falsely accuse somebody of raping you before, and it has been proven, that should be the number one piece of evidence. The number one piece of fucking evidence, okay? And this is the only area of the law where they will not take that into account.
Yeah.
If you've robbed houses before, they're going to look at it and say, hey, you've robbed houses.
Absolutely. And I think that's a big deterrent to things. But look, I'm not saying that it's not difficult to charge somebody with rape. Of course it is. Of course it is. That's a harrowing thing. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't, you are contributing what we know statistically to the future rape of somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's just what we know about rape, statistically. And it's like, I get that it's hard, but what you need to understand is like, what... And I think of anything, what we've proven now in society. Look at how good we've been in society in the last little bit. The Bill Cosby thing. Who's on his side still?
It's nobody.
A very small minority. We've shown as a society.
I try, but I can't. And it's not, but here's what I am on the side of, though, dude. And this is where.
And it's right to a trial instead of.
Right
trial.
To a trial, and innocent until proven guilty. You know,
except after 21.
I would much rather live in a world, dude, and it is so hard to say because, like, look, it looks like Bill Cosby raped these chicks. So it's I don't want to defend.
I'm of the belief he did.
Yeah, so am I. But you go, Janice no, Dickinson, I don't want to be in a world where somebody could just point their finger and say this guy did this, and then he loses everything. Yeah. That's not cool. I don't like I so I it's you gotta I, yeah it has to be black and white so I have to say well fuck it dude he falls into the fucking category on the other side
and this is why
but that's the thing about life even with rape it's just there's so much gray area
you would know you finger fucked that chick on her period when you were 12
12 year old molester
and also the thing I also believe about rape culture I think that people get it wrong is I believe in laws of rape culture I believe like because right now there's this problem in courts. Where they're using your Facebook and, like, social media. So, say, like, earlier in the night, you take a selfie with a guy smiling. They're using that in court against you now. That
wow. Weird. Yeah.
Like, so, like, if you took a picture. So, say you said
so a girl.
And you took a picture with him earlier in the night, and you're both smiling. They're using. You're allowed. That's admissible in court to use against you.
Saying like, oh, so like
look, you took a picture. You look pretty happy here. They're using that in court.
Yeah, but
you know?
He's saying everything.
Yeah, but just because she's happy in a picture doesn't mean she's happy with him shoving his dick down her throat.
Yeah.
Well, no, because you got to understand, like, because people make this argument of like, people will be like, well, it's like when you say, what was she wearing? Well, the fact is, what she was wearing is inadmissible in court. You're not allowed to bring it up. It's illegal.
No. Yeah.
If you're in a court and it's a rape case. You can't bring up her.
But it's kind of funny, like
what she was wearing. It's a missive.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing. It's not so much like there has to be a conversation of personal responsibility in what you do. The whole "what was she wearing" thing. I mean, we make this joke, but there's some truth to that statement. It's like if I go into Compton and I'm wearing a blue shirt, you almost have a right to go. Well, what was he? Was he wearing a blue shirt and he got shot?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what was he wearing? It's not, you're not blaming me. Yeah. You're not saying that I deserve to be shot. You're just saying, like, you have to understand it and you have to look at it in a responsible way. So if you're a young girl and you're going out to parties and you're, you know, you're setting off these triggers for these guys that are drunk and they have it in them to go and rape a person, you're wearing a fucking miniskirt and they can see your pussy. Nobody's saying you deserve to be raped, but you do have, you can say, well, shit, dude, what the fuck were you there doing that
like, what
for?
Were you fucking thinking?
Like, what are you doing? Like, why? If I went into Compton wearing a blue fucking hoodie, my friend should go, dude, what the fuck are you thinking, dude?
That's what you'd think, right? But that didn't happen with me.
A celebration of inappropriate behavior now. You know, like, when you get accused of things like anything, insert whatever shaming, like fat shaming. Well, look, the fact of the matter is that's an irresponsible behavior, and if you actually care about somebody in your life...
You should fat shame them. Fucking
sure
right, you
don't
should.
Get to a certain point yeah. where their livelihood, like, their life, the quality of life is jeopardized.
Yeah, like, the fucking getting up to Ralphie May size. Like, that's
fucking
unhealthy.
If you love your body, love all of it, including your feet, that they'll have to cut off when you're 35. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that shit's important. So,
dude, I love his girlfriend. His girlfriend came in and gave him a note. She's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going out.
A lot of girlfriends would have just been like, Jordan!
Jordan, you sound like a bunch of faggots.
Said there's been
I'm going.
She
you got a little dick. I'm
going
to fuck your brother.
She said there's been lots of girls down here, which is not fucking true.
That's not true. She's negative. Yeah, but dude, you're right, dude. There seems to be... you go, it's not punching down. It's not punching down to fat shame. It's not punching down to say, hey, stop being a slut or an idiot. Yeah. Or stop, don't go through the hood screaming the N-word. Yeah. Because you're going to get fucked up probably. Dude. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay, all you're doing is it's just calling it like it fucking is. And you can't do that. You have to go, well, no, everyone's equal and everybody's the same. And it's just like, look.
Yeah.
You know, it's a yes, dude. Is it mean to say, hey, dude, you're fat and gross? Yeah, but nobody's
doing
the guy
that's
doing that. Yeah.
No.
Nobody's going like, oh, you're bullying.
It's the same thing like with the.
Do you remember the woman? A few months ago, she was a mother of three, and she posted a picture of herself. She was super fit, dude. Like abs, you know, and she had like a 10-month-old, a 2-year-old, and like a 3-year-old, and it's her and her kids, and she's fucking, she's smoking hot potty, dude. She's in like a workout outfit, and, you know, it's like mother of three, what's your excuse, right?
Yeah.
Turns out she's a fitness trainer and model, you know. But dude, people, the feminist community, in an uproar. Oh, you're shaming. Another woman put out a thing with her shitty fucking mom body with her. Yeah. She was like, you know, I'm raising my family. You know, and you're like, dude, what do you mean? This woman literally, this woman, the fitness model lady, she literally saved people's lives. There were people that saw that and changed their fucking life, dude. They stopped shoveling processed fucking garbage into their face, and they said, you know what, dude, I got kids that I care about and that I fucking love, and you know what? I'm gonna make sure that I do something to change my life. If that woman can do it, I can fucking do it. She can look that good. She has a 10-month-old. What am I doing?
Well, it's like, remember when it was like Miss America or someone along those lines. I can't remember exactly what it is, but they came out and said that she believes that all women should learn jujitsu or something.
Yes.
And
she was like, yes.
I think that, you know, all women should learn this. And they were like, you're a victim blame. And it's like, why not just look?
You are a fucking idiot. You want your...
It's not fair to anyone.
Yeah, right? Dude. You shouldn't know how to defend yourself? Yeah. Princess, let me tell you something. It's a fucking harsh world out there, okay?
Definitely.
Guys shouldn't rape. Yeah, no shit. People shouldn't steal. People shouldn't murder. People shouldn't fight. People shouldn't curse. People shouldn't do a lot of things.
But they do.
But they're going to do them. And if you're not... you're not going to buy locks for your door because people shouldn't rob your house?
Yeah. Nah, fuck that.
People should not rob houses. I'm not buying a lock for my house.
Yeah.
Okay, dumb twat. You're probably going to get robbed.
You're going to have a...
Yeah,
rigged. Let's get real. You probably should have learned jiu-jitsu and bought locks.
Fuck.
But yeah, dude, it's so the culture we live in, to like, it's once again, it's people trying to reshuffle the deck constantly, saying everyone's equal, everyone needs to be on the same page, and that's just not reality. And the sooner you accept that I'm not gonna have the same cards that you are dealt, or you were dealt, and you say I'm still gonna play the game with my cards, it's poker. That's it, dude.
Exactly. I brought this up before. Play with whatever cards you're dealt.
You know, we got to get out of here in a minute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Take over. But you know, it's I love the movie Rounders. It's I'm such a meathead fucking dummy.
Yeah.
But like, it was that scene.
Me and Lewis would have been.
We were the same guy. Yeah, we are. It's so funny.
We would have grown up very good friends.
Fucking. But there was this movie. One of the other. The scene in the movie where he just talks about how it's the same 8 guys at the final table every year at the World Series of Poker, and he's like, dude, if you think the cards matter, why is it that it's the same 8 guys?
Yeah.
He was like, it would just be a different... He was like, it's not the... It's how you play your fucking hand. And that's why I'm a stupid idiot and I have a tattoo with a 2-7 offsuit on my arm.
Yeah,
but that's what it all fucking means. It's like...
I like it, actually.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
But you're dealt a hand. It doesn't matter what it is. You play your fucking hand and you can have a 2-7 offsuit and you can win that fucking game.
Just to be clear, though, it could have been done way nicer, but...
it's a shitty tattoo.
Fuck.
All right, we got to rock out of here.
Yes,
this is, I love this. Is the audio really bad up top?
No, it's pretty fucking. It sounded
okay
fine. Yeah,
okay.
It sounds fine. It's just like one or two of us are like either he's quiet for like a couple of seconds or
I'm gonna have
for
my.
A couple
it's
seconds.
Okay.
Your voice is perfect the whole time.
That's not a good listen to the fans though.
Focus.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds good. Like, does everyone's volume sound good? Because
yeah,
I'll give it to my
everything's,
guys.
Everything's
we'll release
fine
this
now.
As a real ass podcast as well. I think
plus
it's a good show.
Yeah. Sure. Plus, I'll fiddle with the audio when I get it
don't
into.
Don't fiddle anything. You send me that file raw. I'll have my people fiddle with mine.
All right.
Can you just send me that tonight, though? Is that possible?
Yeah, I can do this.
All right. Thank you, dude. All right. Listen, guys. Thanks for listening to
Spitballing with JT with Luis J. Gomez and Rob Mayu.
If you're at the System of a Down concert tomorrow, don't boo me.
Boom yes, him, and guys. If you can go to Lewis's show tonight, if anybody's listening to this live, fucking, he's at the Underground, and there's a secret show at Comedy Bar, possibly at 11.
A secret show anymore. That's why we spilled the beans.
Believe
me, guys.
Nobody's watching this, so it's still fucking secret.
All right, guys, we're out.
Later.
They should call this a secret podcast.